Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, this is Family of Faith. This is a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and Seth is making me laugh right now. He always tries to make me laugh right as we intro so that I can't have my thoughts about me as I begin to talk. Thank you, Seth.
I was posting an Instagram story.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right saying, there. Hey, look, we're recording the podcast.
All right. I don't even know what that means, posting an Instagram story.
Yeah, I barely know what it means. I just see that it exists, and I'm like, oh, I should probably do that.
So we are in the studio today with just me and Seth, and I feel like we have a good balance. We're going back and forth of podcast with some guest speakers.
Some real special guests.
Real special guests.
Unlike me, who's just like, oh, he's
Seth,
here,
you're valuable. Seth, you're valuable. Was that a plea for me to affirm you?
No.
Is that what you were wanting to do?
No, I just really,
is that a, you're
I just really
to affirm your
feel like
value?
I'm just here. I'm like, you know, on the late night shows, they have like, there's the main guy who's like there, who's like, he's the...
Then they have the guy on the side
with
the mic.
Guy on the side. Yeah, exactly. I'm the guy on the side with the mic.
You don't want to be the guy on the side with
why?
The mic.
Why? He's hilarious. But he's hilarious because he only pops in when he really needs to. And it's just like the perfectly timed like little blip to like rescue the main guy.
What was David Letterman's guy? What was David Letterman's guy? Paul Schaefer. Paul Schaefer in the CBS orchestra. That guy was useless. Anyway.
I always liked Conan's guy.
What was his name?
I don't know his name, but he was...
He actually sat on the stage with them though.
Did he?
Yeah, he actually came over and
but
sat.
But he was over on the side sometimes.
Yeah, and then you have Jimmy's guy. What's Jimmy's guy's name?
Jimmy and Johnny. No, I don't know.
Anyway. All right, so today
on late night with Paul
and his no name guy with the mic. I want to talk today. Last week we had Dan and we talked about meditating, journaling, how meditating is an important part of our life, and we need to be actively meditating upon what we hear. So we're talking about content, the amount of content we take in. We're going to stay in that vein of thought and that kind of way of thinking and topic. And I want to talk today about how we process sermons, how we listen to sermons, how we engage with sermons, where a sermons, how do they fit into our weekly life? And then we can apply that even to some family instruction and practical family tips on how to use sermons. But I'd like to talk about the sermon, what a sermon is, why do we listen to a sermon together? How do we need to be listening to a sermon? And then how we can prepare our hearts and even going away from the sermon, what we need to be doing. So I want to say this right up front. I'm taking a lot of this and adapting it. There's this little pamphlet or booklet called Listen Up. It's written by Christopher Ash, A Practical Guide to Listening to Sermons. And really, it's a really quick, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 pages, 30 pages. And
he's British, right?
Yeah, Christopher Ash is
so
British.
You know he's legit.
He's legit. You can hear his English accent actually as you read it. It's great.
Really?
No, but I supply my own English accent as I'm reading it.
It's Christopher, got a hideous cover.
It is hideous. It's self-published, man. That's what people do. So anyway, Christopher Ash has written a couple other books that are really good, but this is a really practical guide to helping us listen to sermons. It's convicting. And I would encourage you to look that up.
We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, put a link to it.
I'm sure it's available online somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. So let's talk first about what a sermon is. Seth, what is a sermon? Why do we do this every week, Sunday morning, where we get together and listen to a preacher, a pastor, speak from God's word? What is happening there?
I have wondered that myself. And I sat in on a lecture that Dan was giving at the seminary once. And he was saying that it has its roots even in the Old Testament. They used to do this in the synagogues, and they would basically read God's scripture and then explain it, and that carried through to the church.
Okay, yeah.
So we're hearing God's word and then having it explained, because sometimes it's a little hard to understand.
Yeah, yeah. So let me approach it this way. It starts with who we are, or our identity as the people of God. We have an identity as the people of God. And I've talked about this in other contexts, but if you notice, scripture, the scripture is focused around the people of God. So in the Old Testament, you have the people of God is Israel. Mm-hmm. And God had appointed leaders to speak on behalf of Israel and to speak to Israel. He had appointed men to lead them and as his mouthpieces to Israel. And the messages that these men give are to the people, not just to individuals, but to the people. When you think New Testament and you look at Paul's instruction in his letters, notice it's always to the plural. It's always to the people. It's not to individuals, right? And even in those letters where he writes to individuals, it's in the context of them being part of the people of God. And so we have this identity. The most important identity we have is as the people of God. We said this a lot recently in that God is making for himself a people through his Son by his Spirit. So we tend to, in America, think more individualistically. We think more of ourselves as individuals, and we don't embrace our community identity or our identity as the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is saving for himself a people, and you are part of that, but you are not the point. It is the people that are the point. So when we talk about listening to God's word or listening to God, that's what a sermon is. We are listening to God speak. When a pastor gets up and explains the Bible or preaches the Bible, we are hearing God speak through his word, through his messenger.
So does that mean if you're doing expository preaching that the pastor is speaking infallibly?
No, he's human for sure.
And so this isn't some sort of ex cathedra situation,
yeah.
Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and his authority, he is speaking authoritatively, okay? He is speaking authoritatively. Obviously, the pastor may make a mistake. He may say something that's not correct. He may say something that's in error. The pastor, though, is speaking with borrowed authority. He is speaking authoritatively,
okay.
But his authority is borrowed from God and from God's word. As he speaks, I will say this, as he speaks God's word, if he speaks God's word correctly and speaks God's word with the text as the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really getting at the point of the text and does that correctly, then the word of God is infallible.
Yep.
The word of God is without error. And that's why when we talk about expository preaching, that's why expository preaching is the correct way to preach, because it's not about a preacher getting up and sharing his opinions or taking the text just as a springboard and going off and talking about his soapbox issue or whatever he wants to speak on. It's about making God's word clear to his people. And so this is a community activity. The sermon is a community, us living out our community identity. The preaching of the word of God is focused on shaping a people into the image of Christ. Many times when we talk about being shaped into Christ's image, we think about that individualistically again as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like God is shaping me individually into the image of Christ. Well, that's true, but his emphasis, the emphasis of salvation is shaping a people into the image of Christ. We are his body. We are his bride. We are that building that Ephesians says is the Spirit is building up for habitation of God. We are that people that he's shaping into the image of Christ. Ephesians 4, and really the entire book of Ephesians, speaks to the corporate identity of the church. And in Ephesians 4, you have the gifts given to the church after the encouragement to maintain the unity that we have in the Spirit. It says that the Lord has given gifts to the church, shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And what is that work? What are they equipping the saints to do? Pastors and teachers are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the emphasis is on the maturity of us all. Pastors and teachers serve to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which is growing us all into maturity, the body of Christ into maturity, of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So again, we come together in sermons to hear preaching because we're in this together. We are all going to the same place, to maturity in Christ.
And then Ephesians 1 also says, in verse 22, it says, "And he put all things under his feet," which is right. Christ's feet,
right.
"And gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all," which, correct me if I'm wrong, means that the body, that the church is Christ's representative right. here on earth right. together as right. a corporate
right.
identity, not individually yeah. necessarily.
And the church means assembly. I mean, that's the idea of the church, the assembled people of God, the assembly. And so the emphasis is on that identity, the church being the representation of God or of Christ on earth, all of us together growing into maturity, mature manhood in Christ. And so that's one of the main reasons why we come together and listen to preaching together, because we are all together in our identity. We are one. And so that's why we listen together. And that's why we come together to hear God's word preached. We all sit under the authority of it. We all are to hold each other accountable to it. This is a wonderful, wonderful reality when you grasp that. And we'll even get into some implications. I would say that your reading, your personal reading and personal individual intake of God's word should never be emphasized over that public listening and public that community participation in the sermon.
What do you mean by that?
So what I'm saying is, a lot of times people, they really go after it in Bible study and reading on their own, mm-hmm. Which is obviously a really good thing. But they are kind of complacent about sermons and their involvement in sermons. Almost it's like something they've got to do every week, but really it's about them feeding themselves. It's about them individually studying whatever it is that they're studying. And they're missing the point then.
Well, ideally, wouldn't it be if we were studying what the pastor was preaching
Absolutely.
On,
yeah.
then you've got
yeah.
it all tied together right. and you can right. try to study the passage yourself, understand it as best as you can, and then
right.
hear what the pastor is saying, have it explained,
yep.
dig it some more and try to apply it to your life. And
yep.
I think when you integrate your sort of personal walk with what you're hearing in the body can be really yeah. helpful.
I think that's absolutely right. And so my individual reading and studying should not or cannot take the place of hearing the word of God preached in the church, okay, mm-hmm. in my local assembly. That, you know, again, Christianity is not individualized. It's not about me individually. It's about him making for himself, God making for himself a people. When I read the Bible myself, and when I'm trying to interpret it myself, obviously that is a valuable thing to do, important thing to do. However, when I do that on my own, I can interpret it in a way that makes me feel better than it should, right? Does that make sense? I can interpret it in a way that makes me feel better, that makes me feel more comfortable with what the Bible's teaching. When I'm listening to preaching, I don't get to decide how it's interpreted, right? It's interpreted for me, and it's also preached to me. It's declared to me, and I have to deal now with what has been told to me. Whereas when I'm doing it individually, it's amazing how often when I'm reading the Bible individually, everything seems to be shaped around me and what I'm already currently doing in my life. I give myself a whole lot of loopholes. I give myself a whole lot of outs. I can really wiggle out of some of the more uncomfortable statements of scripture. But under preaching in the context of community, that's much harder to do. That's much harder to do because it has been preached with authority and in the context of community. So So this is God speaking to his people, the assembly, the people that he's making for himself. I am unable in and of myself. I don't know if you thought about this, Seth, but I am unable in and of myself to think right, to act right, to want the right things. I am sinful, utterly sinful. Now, Christ's work in me has created in me a desire to live right, a desire to think right. And I can live in obedience, and I should be living in obedience. And by his grace, I don't think the way I used to think, right? I don't act the way I used to act. I don't want the same things I used to want. But I still have this sinful flesh. I still have this sinful blindness when I hear God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm listening to a sermon, it should convict me. It should challenge me. I will not always like what I hear. In fact, if you go for a long period of time and never have any kind of uncomfortable, like if you're listening to sermons for a long period of time at your church and nothing ever really makes you feel uncomfortable, nothing really ever challenges you, then there's something either wrong with the way you're listening or there's something wrong with the preaching. Right, because the word of God, God's speaking to his people, it's not meant to make us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It's meant to convict us and change us and shape us and challenge us and rebuke us, correct us, yeah. Train us. In Timothy, where you know they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'm gonna have to check my reference, but they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And in other words, they like to hear teaching. Man, and I guess this is kind of what's driving this podcast is I just see so much of that. We just have all these teachers that are really good teachers, but we just love teaching. I love teaching. I want to hear teaching. Recently, I was talking to somebody at a different church about the whole satellite campus model of church or multiple site idea of church. And what is at the middle of that? Well, it's usually have a really good teacher. You really have a really good preacher and he's transmitted, right? He's put on these TV screens, live feed, whatever, to all these different sites. And you've got to hear this preacher, this pastor teach because he's so good. And that, I think that's really a dangerous way, to do church. Yeah. I don't think it's good.
Did you hear Matt Chandler and their church recently, they're in the process of, transitioning out of the satellite campus model.
Yeah, Matt Chandler was one of the guys that started or really did that. And he is, again, he's kind of backing up and saying, oh, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's so good because people are beginning to understand this is not the way church is really meant to be done.
Yeah.
Here's kind of a checklist of things that we ought to be thinking through as we come to hear the sermon or listen to the sermon. First, I think we need to approach every sermon with humility. We want to listen with humility. Again, I will not like what I hear, but that's good. That's good. I need to hear uncomfortable things. I need to be challenging myself and looking to change, looking to be shaped with God's people into the image of Christ. So I would just say practically, before you come to, so this is preparation before you come to a sermon. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the preacher leading up to the sermon. Mm. How much do we spend? And it doesn't have to be every day, but just maybe sometime in the middle of the week, just dedicated time with your kids, with your family, during the evening before you go to bed, whatever it is. Pray with them before the pastor coming up, whoever's going to speak this next week. Pray for them. Brian's speaking this week, and so pray for Brian. This next week.
Every Friday on the church's Facebook page, we post who's going to be preaching and what they're going to be preaching on.
Yeah.
So you could even preview, usually the notes are up there.
Yeah. And if there's ever in your heart a like, oh, he's preaching.
Paul's
yeah,
preaching.
If you ever see my name come up and you go, oh, Paul's preaching this week. Well, all right. You know, or for any of the guys, if you ever feel that way, something's not right. Oh, I love when that guy preaches, but when somebody else preaches, it's not so much. That's a problem. That's an issue because it's not about then the word of God. It's about It's about an entertainment for you.
But Paul, I really like it when you preach.
I hope it's because the Bible is clear. I hope, you know, but it's the same way with music. Like, oh, I don't like when that guy sings. Oh, I really like when she sings. I really like when that band is playing, and not that band. But what is that? Why do we do that? Because we're individuals. We think of ourselves as individuals and our preferences first. And it really shouldn't. We need to work to beat that out of ourselves. We need to work to fight and really to slay that mindset. Okay. Because it's not about the person preaching. It's not about their style. And if you're focused on their style, if you're focused on their abilities, communicative, you know, abilities, then you're really focused on the wrong things. This is not entertainment. Okay. We're not being entertained. I would rather have a guy that's not dynamic and loves the church and loves the people and wants God's word to be shown clearly to the people. Give me that mm-hmm. guy over the guy that can just be the great preacher. Give me that guy every time, because there's nothing wrong with being a great communicator, obviously, but this again is not entertainment. We shouldn't be wanting to come away from every sermon going, oh wow, that was a great sermon. Mm-hmm. We should be walking away saying, how do I need to change? What is it that needs to be different in my life? How do I need to change the way I think?
Probably the curse of being a good preacher is everyone does just go away saying that was a,
yeah. And that's a great sermon. That's kind of the thing when you have the ability to communicate, people always do that. Now I should balance that out, because it is encouraging. If you preach and somebody comes up and says, that was a really, really helpful sermon. That was a really great sermon. Sure. Thank you. You want to tell pastors that, because that right. encourages them.
Right.
It's not wrong to talk to other people about that. Just this last Sunday, I go out in the foyer and I walk by and I hear a conversation, and the ladies stopped me and told me it was a good sermon, but they were talking about how it could impact their life.
Yeah.
And they could give specifics about what they learned and how they were growing in their love for Christ. And so that's what you want to hear. Mm. Not just, hey, that was a good sermon.
Yeah.
So pray for the preacher as you come up. Pray for yourself. Pray that God would change you. This, if you think about it as God speaking to his people, then there should be some anticipation. That God is going to speak to us. God is going to speak to us this Sunday. Like, we should be looking forward to that. God is going to speak to us this Sunday. Pray, God, please help me to hear what you have for me. Please help me to really be humble and listening and hearing what you have to say. Free yourself from those distractions that really get in your way. And I got to tell you too, and I'm not against sports, but man, don't focus on the sporting game or the activity going on that Sunday. I know that's hard because you love the Seahawks or whatever it is, but man, make that put that out of your mind, you know, put that out of your mind. This is, God is going to speak to us today. I mean, if you really thought about that, if God is going to, we talked about God speaking audibly from heaven, right? If you thought God was going to speak audibly from heaven and then the Seahawks were playing at 10, right? Which one would you rather go hear?
That's why we have TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo.
Or whatever they call it these days.
Tape it. Yeah. Tape it. Watch it Monday. I don't know. But I understand the people and they enjoy their sports. But if you really understood what was happening, you can't compare the Seahawks. I mean, it doesn't even compare. Right? Yeah. To God speaking to us. So pray for yourself. Pray that God would free your mind and heart from distractions. Pray at the beginning of the service. Whenever you enter the service, get there a little early. Get there a little, don't come in right at 8:30 or 10:30.
Or 8:35, 8:45.
Yeah, right. And you
it's
wonder.
Hard with little ones.
It is really hard with little ones. I get that. Restructure some things if yeah. necessary. And come anticipating what God's going to say. And what a lesson to our little ones when we set aside that time. Again, as a family, we, you know, dads, moms, you're setting the tone when you are getting there early with anticipation. This is a big deal. That teaches your kids something when they see that. Dad cares more about the sermon than he does about whatever else is going on Sunday. He really, really wants to get there early. I mean, again, I'm not trying to lay heaviness on you. If you are 5 or 10 minutes late for your work every day, if you have a structured work situation, that's not going to go over well, right? You make sure you're on time for things that you need to be on time for. How much more worship with God's people, listening to what God has to say. And so come a little early, just a couple minutes early, pray that God would, again, help you see what you need to see. Rest the night before, or make sure the time you spend Saturday night is such that it won't keep you up too late, and it won't distract you from what's going to go on the next morning. Christy and I were talking about this recently, how, you know, Jewish days, the day actually began at sunset, right? The previous day mm-hmm. ended at sunset, and that's when the next day began. What if we treated Saturday night that way, where when the sun goes down Saturday night, our focus then turns to preparation for Sunday morning? It's not that you can't, you know, do things, but really the focus ought to be on getting to bed on time. You know, have you ever watched the movie the next day? That's all you could think about. Like, how did that happen? I didn't even see that. You know, don't do that on Saturday night.
But you can't know before you watch the movie because you don't know what you don't know.
Well, you might say, you know, Saturday night's not going to be our movie night. Do that for Friday night, you know? Yeah. Saturday, I'm not going to do anything that's going to possibly distract me from Sunday morning, because the real event's happening Sunday morning, and really treat it that way. So rest the night before, prepare yourself the night before for the sermon on Sunday. In the worship service together on Sunday. So listen humbly. Also, listen actively. Listen actively. Engage. Engage with the sermon. I think sometimes people have a very passive approach to sermons. They come in and just kind of let the sermon pass over them, and they take it in. It's not that they don't take it in, but it's just a very passive relationship with the sermon. You said something a minute ago that's right in line with this. Read ahead. Look at the passage that's going to be preached. Read ahead and try yourself to get at what the passage is saying. Come into it with some questions. Yeah. Come into the sermon with some questions like, what does this mean? What does that mean? Maybe this is the point. Write down maybe some possibilities for the main point of the sermon.
I feel like if you come into it having read it, it's a lot easier to follow what the pastor's saying, because I know we always read the scripture before we do the sermon, but especially if it's a longer passage, I don't remember all the details that are in there.
The genealogy.
And connecting, like, because you guys will, you know, be talking about stuff that it's in there without actually reading it every time that you're talking about it. And it's just like, it's a lot easier to follow if you're familiar with the passage and it's fresh in your mind.
And I'll say this on the pastor side, maybe we as pastors, you know, we as pastors need to be growing. And we as pastors need to be maybe tied more, even though what we're saying is right out of the text. I think this has been something that I've thought about for myself, is how can I show the people how I got where from the text to what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Can I do a better job at showing that connection and how I actually made that connection, teaching them to read their Bibles a little bit better?
Do a little look at the book action.
Look at the book.
We need to get you one of those little document cameras. Did I tell you we've got the tools to do that now?
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
To so do the same thing as look at the book?
Well, no, not exactly the same thing, but we have a document camera.
Yeah. I've thought about document cameras before.
You can do that whenever you want. Just let me know.
That's going to distract me now. So yeah, listen actively, engage, read ahead of time, and then have some idea of the passage when you go through. Have some questions you're wanting to see if the pastor answers. And then don't feel bad about going up and talking to the pastor, like, how did you get that? Or where did you see that? I didn't see number two. How did you get point number two from that text? Because I didn't see that connection. Be engaged on that front in that way. Here's a tough one. Prioritize your church's sermon, weekly sermon, over sermons online from celebrity preachers that you really like.
DesiringGod.org.
Yeah. You know, I am not excited about you listening to John Piper or Matt Chandler or Mark Dever or Alistair Begg or John MacArthur. All of those men are great teachers. And obviously to listen to them, we would encourage you to do that if you have the space. But prioritize the sermon at your church over those. And here's what I mean by that. Again, if we are the people of God and we're sitting under the word of God together, then the pastors that God has given us and the people that we are identified with, that ought to take our priority. So what you're doing when you're watching a John Piper sermon, you're watching an event that's already taken place for another group of people with a different, God is trying to do something in the middle of that people that he's not necessarily wanting to do in your life at the at that point in time. In other words, there's not this relationship with that body, and you can get very individualistic again. And you say, well, I can hear a lot better sermons. The point is just intake, right? No, it's not. It's a relationship. It's an identity. And although there's a lot better preachers out there, there are not any preachers that know you. John Piper doesn't know you. Mark Dever doesn't know you, and he's not praying for you. The pastors here at this church do know you, and they are praying for you, and they love you. And so that's why I say at the very beginning of this podcast, this is a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. The point of this podcast is not so that everybody in the world can hear this. I don't really care if everybody in the world hears this. What I care about is the people at Faith Bible Church to hear this. You know, I'm here. I want to pastor Faith Bible Church. I want to pastor the people here at Faith Bible Church. Mm-hmm. That's my priority. And so I'm going to be concerned with the people that are here right under our noses and seeking their spiritual maturity and growth. And the messages are built for them, not for others. And so you need to listen to the church's sermon first and foremost. And that means you need to be there. You gotta give priority to actually being there and listening faithfully, going to church. It's true that as you come to church, there may be sermons that you hear that don't seem to be readily applicable, or you're like, well, I don't know how that applied to me. Well, the truth is they all apply to you because they apply to the church that you're a part of. And over time, this is the good analogy my wife actually used and has helped me. You know, I don't remember what I ate last week. I can't tell you any of the meals that I ate last week, but I know I did eat last week. Because I stayed alive, right? And I know I ate. I can't tell you all the things I ate. Now, there are times where I eat that is memorable. Like I can remember a few meals I've had in my life, like 10 years ago. I can still remember them because they were that amazing, mm-hmm. right? And most of the meals I've had in my life, I've forgotten about. Most of the meals I've had, I don't remember. But I know I've had them because they've kept me alive. They've helped me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same way many times with sermons. You won't remember every sermon you hear. Even over a month, you won't necessarily remember every sermon that you hear, but they will be having an impact on you. You will remember some sermons because they just had a dramatic effect on you and a dramatic impact. The point of a sermon is not to come in and just get more information, but to grow. And you might not always be able to discern in what specific ways have you grown, but it is growing you. It is changing you. And you can get better at applying it. And I would even say as a family, you know, if you come to church and you're listening faithfully, you need to be thinking about what we talked about last week, meditating. How should this be impacting me? How should this be changing me? Where is this speaking to heart issues that I have? And I do think sometimes people come to a sermon and they're wanting the sermon to fix something or to be like this immediate fix. It doesn't work that way. If a pastor had to worry about fixing every single person's specific situations in the church, he's never going to be able to do that, right? So it's not a quick fix. It's the Word of God that speaks to us in the context of community. And we ought to be asking ourselves specifically, okay, that doesn't seem to apply to me, but if I really think about it, if I really am meditating on this, I would guarantee you that God is working to change you in some specific way. And not to give you a quick fix, but to start speaking to maybe some heart issues that you have and some false idols that are going on in your life. And that leads me to the last thing I'll say. We need to be listening faithfully, but we need to be listening to obey. So I've kind of already said that. We need to be listening to obey. This is not entertainment. It is for our growth. And so we want to be listening to obey what we hear. James tells us that we don't want to be just hearers of the word, but doers of mm-hmm. the word. And so how does this change? Here's some simple questions. How is what I'm hearing change what I think? How does it need to change what I think? How does it need to change how I speak? How does it need to change what I do? Again, I am not acting and thinking and doing and speaking the way I should by nature. I am blind in my sin. And so I need God's word to speak light into my life. And I need the community of Christ to come alongside me and hold me accountable and encourage me and point out some things in my life that I'm blind to. And so I want to be ready and willing to obey, and not obey tomorrow, not obey when I get around to it, but obey today what I've heard. Now, if God is speaking to us today, when is it that we need to respond? Today, not later, not pushing it off. So if we come to it with that anticipation and expectation, then it gives us this urgency in how we hear what God is saying. Because if this is what God has said, then we need to respond right away. So as a family, you start asking yourself, how does this sermon shape us as a family? What do we need? How do we need to change the way we think or view our lives as a family? How do we need to change what we do and the activities we are participating in, and why? Have you ever asked yourself why you're doing what you're doing? Like, why is your life structured the way it's structured? What is your goal? What is your hope? What are you doing and going after as a family? I think a lot of families really are just kind of going through the rhythm or the same cycle every week. It's kind of like the same old every single week, and they're just doing the same things week in and week out, and they're never really actively pursuing growth. The sermon just kind of becomes this extra thing that they're doing in the week, and if other things get in conflict with it, then the sermon goes out the window and the other thing becomes the thing, right? So I think we want to structure our lives. Here's what I'm saying. I want to see people structure their lives around the sermon and around that church, that assembly on a Sunday morning. I think that ought to be the main event of our week. That ought to be the main event of our week. And if it is, I think that would have a radical impact on our family and on our life, the way we live our life. Well, thanks for listening today. I hope this has been encouraging to you, and we'd love to hear from you. Some of you have been writing, and we've got some emails here and there, and so that's good. That's helpful. I have a few of you stop me in the hallways and ask me to build a podcast around something, this or that, and so that's good. We always appreciate that. If you do want to email us and suggest a question or a topic for the podcast, you can do that at info@fbchurch.org, and we would enjoy hearing from you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.